hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We are at Yanexo in Freeport in the Bahamas for the Legends of Diving event. You've heard some of the legends in hour one. We've been having a good time catching up with some of these folks that literally made this show possible, let alone all the diving that we have available to us around the world. Now, I mentioned there at the end of hour one with Nick Acorn about some of the memorabilia that he's collected over the years working with manufacturers, helping develop scuba equipment. He has quite a collection in his own right, and if you get to the Long Beach Dive Show, he'll be there exhibiting some of those products, and it's very enlightening to see where we went back in the day in the 50s and 60s to where we are now, and some of the technological advances and how those things came to be over the years. However, here at Yanexo, tagging on to the Legends of Diving event, I have with me Brian Pennington. He's from Tampa, right, Brian?
Located out of Tampa, yeah.
Yeah, and it's vintagedoublehose.com is the website. You can go check it out. But it's vintage dive equipment that you guys use, right?
We do. We take a lot of the equipment that Nick has worked with. A lot of the legends here started developing in the late 40s, early 50s, and 60s, and we do restoration work of it, get it back in working order, and we actually dive it, almost 99, some of us 100% of the diving we do is all done with it.
Very nice. Now, I've already seen some of the divers walking around here at Yanexo getting ready to board a boat and literally dive with this stuff, which is like, double hose regulators and things like that. Are we talking about like a Mark V helmet dives and stuff, or is that a different category altogether?
Helmet diving's really in its own entity, and we really don't get into any of that other than, some Kirby Morgan lights and some things like that we do. But we really focus on, the Sea Hunt, the Cousteau series era of, diving that a lot of folks are familiar with or have seen on TV and got a lot of folks interested in diving. So that's where a lot of that came about. And people that not only do it for the nostalgia, they do it for the challenge. They do it for, it's fun. It's different.
They don't build them like they used to, that kind of thing?
They don't build them like they used to. And, we are comfortable and as a group. We dive them anywhere, any depth anybody else does. And we've got our own boat this time. And, we were able to work with Yanexo and with Jeff Rice and the Legends of Diving to combine our groups and kind of have a bigger event this year. And it's the first time our group has been offshore as a group. So, probably one of the bigger collections of working vintage equipment that the Bahamas has seen probably since the equipment was new.
Yeah, it's kind of like combining like a classic car show with diving or something. Isn't that kind of what it is? You showcase or show off the gear, but you actually put it to work and go down there and dive with it. Now, obviously, Brian, I would imagine you've dived with new stuff as well. And, how does it compare? When you're breathing off one of these old classic double hose regulators, is that a totally different experience than what you would get in a, typical regulator off the shelf at a local dive store today?
Well, fortunately, I've on and off been a diving instructor for the last 30 years, so I've had the opportunity to work with, everything from the mid-70s on up through today. It does breathe different, but a well-tuned double hose regulator set up, outfitted well, breathes comparable to most anything on the market, but it's really more... It takes a little more getting used to. It's not as plug and play as we'd call it today. You need to learn how to get it fitted to you, how to position positioned on your back, get comfortable with it. And, you know, we spent a lot of time with some of the kids in the local schools here diving in the pool with double hose regulators I had sent over for them to use. They've been using them the past couple weeks. And one of the neat things to notice is they don't really know any difference. So they put it on, they go diving, they're perfectly happy with it. And some of us are kind of that way. But you'll notice a lot of divers in our group are dive a lot of modern equipment. This is just kind of a sideline to them, kind of like you said, it's their classic car, not the car they drive every day. But a lot of us enjoy showing the equipment, talking about it, and getting others interested in it. And you know, over the past 5 years, the group, at least the group that we revolve around, has grown from just a few members to almost 500 now. And we've got a worldwide organization that communicates through the internet and meets at various dive events through the year.
Very nice. And once again, it's vintagedoublehose.com. You can go there and check them out on the web. Brian, a pleasure. Love seeing these divers walk around. Just seeing the passion that they obviously have for the equipment and just going down underwater with this stuff is quite impressive to see and just watch as a bystander. No, one of the many events that they have here at the Legends of Diving. Thank you so much for being on Scuba Radio.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, moving along to some of the other legends here at this event on Grand Bahama Island. I have a guy named Bob Croft. He is one of them, obviously. And Bob, all I really know about you is that you are a freak of nature because your lung capacity is like three times that of the normal human being. Is that true?
No, it's not quite true. I trained myself when I was very young to pack. I call it air packing, but pack air into my lungs and increase my total lung volume by 50%. So it's really only that much greater than most other people, my height, my weight, and age. So it's, you know, it's just a way of getting more oxygen into your lungs.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard of this. Air packing, the free divers do that.
Yes.
It's like, what is it? Like I see them do it like they breathe in and then they like hiccup or like bring in more or what? What's going on there?
First off, I started air packing back in 1946. And when I was a kid, had no use for it, no reason to do it, and didn't do it. It wasn't related to the water in any way at all. It was a game that I played where I would exhale and then pack air into my lungs just using my tongue and until I had my lungs full. And in the beginning, I couldn't do it quick enough. I'd have to stop it and I'd have to breathe. But by the time I had perfected it, I could do it so quickly, like this. And that's how I increased my lung volume by 50%. When I started freediving, I used air packing to fill my lungs. Other freedivers do it now. Almost every competitive freediver does it today everywhere in the world.
Yeah, it's like I've seen them do that. And so you're the one who kind of came up with this technique.
I started air packing? Yes, I did.
So you're not a freak of nature. You just came up with this new technique that worked well for freediving.
And I didn't do it so that I could do things in the water. It was a dumb game that I played as a kid, you know?
It sounds like this show. I just started this radio show as an excuse to go diving on company time, and it turned into something much bigger. But yeah, you know, that is a cool story. And you know, sometimes things like that happen. You're right place, right time. And lo and behold, a few years later, you're a legend of diving. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, when I competed, and I competed three times internationally, there were supposed to be three nations involved. There was supposed to be Enzo Majorca from Sicily, Jacques Mail from France, and me from the United States. Enzo Majorca never made it. He never showed up for any of the competitions. Jacques and I did compete. We had three international competitions off of Fort Lauderdale. I won all three of them. And I was the first person in history to dive beyond 200 feet on a breath hold dive. So, yeah, and it was, and literally, I backed into free diving because I didn't know that I could free dive like that until 1963.
Yeah, what, just, you went down and it's like, hey, I can hold my breath pretty long. I ought to give this a shot or try to be a little more serious about it.
It was kind of like that. I was stationed for duty at the escape training tank at the submarine base in Groton, Connecticut, because I spent years on submarines. And to have that particular duty, you had to be qualified in submarines. You had to be a qualified diver. I happen to have also been on submarines, but because I was a qualified diver and a submarine sailor, I got the duty there. It was there that I discovered that I could hold my breath for so long. You know, when I first started, I could do a minute and a half, but I was petrified. trainees had died in that tank. An instructor had died in that tank over the years. So when I got there, I was very nervous, and you know that in itself will keep you from doing well when you're holding your breath underwater.
Right.
So I would watch these other instructors, and they'd go 3 and 4 minutes, and I thought, my God, I'll never do this. I'll just never do this. But within a year, I was going over 5 minutes anytime I wanted to, and very shortly thereafter, I was going over 6 minutes anytime I wanted to.
Well, 6 minutes on a free dive down to how deep?
50 feet. I was timed at 50 feet once for 6 minutes, 10 seconds.
Wow. So, and that would just be like no sweat, no problem. I can do this. Just pack a little bit, and I'm good to go.
Yeah, I was relaxed. I was so relaxed. There were times that I dozed off underwater holding my breath.
Yeah, so what are you doing? Thinking of like a cool stream in the mountain or something to like calm yourself or what?
Matter of fact, it was quite the opposite. I would always be thinking about what I was doing. I would watch the time just because I was curious, you know. And I'd go 4 or 5 minutes and I'd say, well, heck, I can go another minute or two. It's not that big a deal. To me, breath holding, while you have to be trained to do it properly, it's more psychological than it is physiological. And I think that I had convinced myself that I could go without breathing for very long periods of time. And it kind of worked for me.
Kind of worked for you, yeah. And you have quite the military background, too, because of all this stuff. So did the free diving competition, did that come before or after or in conjunction with or what?
I spent years on submarines. I was on a bunch of submarines, all World War II type submarines. And then I was on a small submarine called the X-1. It was a four-man submarine that was designed to sneak into shallow bays and harbors and lock divers out and set charges and lock back in and leave. And it was used as a research vessel. And there was a crew of, 10 or 12 of us, and we used to take turns running it. But it was a four-man crew. When it was operating, it was just four people. So small, and I'm very short. When I stood up inside of it, my head just hit the overhead. That's how small it was. After that, toward the end of my career, I was attached to the Trieste 2. Trieste 1 was built by Jacques Picard, and he used it to go to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, 36,000 feet. U.S. Navy wanted something like that to find things that other nations had lost on the bottom.
That you can't talk about unless, or you'll have to kill me kind of thing?
Well, I'd have to kill me.
Okay.
Don't want to do that, you know.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you.
So the Navy requested, asked Picard if he would build another Trieste for the U.S. Navy, and he did. He built Trieste 2. And it was a spy vessel, and it was very successful, and it found things that people had lost on the bottom of the ocean.
And can you share any of those, like one little tidbit, like, hey, we didn't expect to come across this, but here it was. You'd have to kill me, wouldn't you?
I don't think there was anything that they stumbled upon. Everything that they found, they were looking for.
Yeah, they knew it was there. It was just a matter of getting there first.
There is one story that's out. There was a Russian submarine that was lost in the North Pacific. And as I remember, and if I remember correctly, Trieste found that one. The cover story was they were going to take manganese nodules. They were going to harvest the bottom of the ocean with manganese nodules. And that was going to be the deal. See, but what they really did was they grappled a Russian submarine off the bottom.
Of course. Yeah. Hey, the government just being straight with us, as always.
Is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Hello, my name is Tammy from Diver Magazine in Japan. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Yes, thank you. We are back here in Grand Bahama Island, the Legends of Diving. I'm with Bob Croft. Now, he mentioned the name Jacques Mayol. Now, Jacques is one of the pioneers of free diving, and Bob Croft obviously is as well. And they used to have these competitions, right, Bob, where you guys would bounce back and forth trying to beat each other's world record free diving. Is that without a sled? Just what?
We rode a weight down. Both of us rode a weight down, and we came back up the line hand over hand. It was called, today they call that a variable ballast free dive. then we were just calling it free dives. You know, that was, and the reason that, that we did it that way was because back in 1913, a Greek seaman named Stadigorius had was supposed to have made a dive to 198 feet to retrieve an anchor they had lost off their boat. And he took a ballast stone from the keel of the ship, went over to the edge of the boat, took a line in his hand, jumped off with, after he took a great lungful of air and plummeted to the bottom, landed on the anchor, put the rope through the eye of the anchor, tied it off, and came back to the surface. And that was what was in the record books. So that was pretty much what Jacques and I were doing, except we weren't using ballast stones, we were using weights.
He was working, you decided to make it into a competition.
Yeah, well, yeah, I didn't even know he existed. I don't know if he even knew I existed. And but I had a manager at the time, and I think he found out about Jacques, or somebody found out about Jacques, and invited him to this competition. Well, we were going to do this thing off of Fort Lauderdale. And he was living there at the time. So it was pretty good for him. You know, I mean, he was there, his crew was there, they were all living there. So I guess to make a long story short, you had asked me earlier about our training differences, so to speak.
Yeah, he's more into the whole Zen-like thing. Calm yourself. Think of that babbling brook in the mountains and slow your heartbeat down to 6 beats per minute. And what's your approach here, Bob?
Well, mine was absolutely the other end of the spectrum because being a Navy diver, my approach to free diving was, I guess, the Navy diver approach. But we partied way too much. We partied way too often. And ironically, the night before I was going for my last world record, we were partying. And we were in a motel room at the Marina Motor Inn in Fort Lauderdale, which is gone now. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and here comes Jacques into the room. There was a bunch of us sitting there on the floor just... And I was drinking scotch and smoking cigars, which I inhaled.
But before you're getting ready to try to attempt to break a world record free dive the next morning.
Yes, I was going out the next morning to establish.
So you wouldn't recommend this for anyone listening back at home today.
No.
But back then, you didn't know any better. You're just having a good time.
I was a Navy diver. I didn't know any better. So, you know, Jacques comes into the room and he sees me smoking cigars and drinking scotch and he says, and I can't do a French accent very well, but he says, you should not be doing this. You should not be here. You should be in bed and you should not be drinking that scotch or smoking those cigars. He says, tomorrow you're going out. So, I don't know, about 2 o'clock, I guess I got to bed. I got up around 5 or 5:30. I went out for a run, 5 or 6 miles, 7 miles, whatever it was. Came back, we got on a boat, I went out, set a new world record, and Jacques was just dumbfounded. I think, I remember him saying, I do not believe this. I just do not believe this. And by the way, he was a witness at the bottom when I set my world record, my last one.
Really? Well, so how was that? Well, he was on scuba gear, or was he free diving down?
Yeah, he insisted that he wanted to be on the bottom watching, and I was kind of nervous about that because all of my cover divers were Navy divers. I knew they could all handle air at 250 feet without any problem whatsoever. I didn't know if he could or not. I know he's a free diver, but I didn't know if he could really deal with air at that depth. And but he pushed it so hard that we finally let him go down. And he ran into a complication because he got knocked bad enough that he let the line go and started drifting away, and one of my cover divers had to retrieve him and bring him back to the line and bring him up several feet to get him back to being aware of what was going on.
Wow. Now, did he want to witness it just because he wanted to make sure you weren't cheating?
That's what I thought, and that's what my team thought, and he insisted that wasn't the reason.
What was his excuse?
I have no clue. I have no clue.
I just want to go diving. I just happen to be in the vicinity.
No, he said he would like to watch and see how we did it. You know, he had no interest in making sure we did it and making sure we didn't cheat. He just said he wanted to just, he would like to be here and watch me do it.
Now, back in the day, so what did you grab to weigh you down, to pull you down to that depth?
Well, we had three lines hanging off the back of the boat. One was for the photographers because we made a movie of it, which will be shown this evening. And the middle one was mine, and nobody else got near that line. And the other line was for all my cover divers. And I would ride a weight down. I had 78 pounds of lead. And if you watch the movie this evening, you'll see it. You'll see how it happens and how it's done.
I cannot wait. This is great stuff. Bob Croft, one of the legends of diving here at Grand Bahama Island. Of course, I'll go watch that film and tell you about it next week on The Big Show. More coming up from the Bahamas. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
We They started producing scuba radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportswear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportswear has pretty much been our supplier for scuba radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. Welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master on Grand Bahama Island. We're at Yanexo for the Legends of Diving event. But I pulled Christina aside. She's one of the dive instructors here, or probably the lead dive instructor. You're the dive instructor in charge at Yanexo. Is that the deal?
I am the diving supervisor around the diving department at Yanexo.
Okay, you're the only one that matters, right?
Well, no, my team matters, too, because without them, I couldn't complete my job. So it's a teamwork.
All right. Well, good answer, just in case they're listening. But we know how she really feels. Now, we were talking earlier about the shark dive adventure that they offer here at Yanexo. This is one of the hot spots for shark diving in the world, and obviously, especially the Bahamas. But Yanexo actually offers not only a shark dive experience, but a shark dive feeder or what? A shark dive course guy? Like you can actually teach somebody how to feed sharks here. Is that right?
Yes, that's what we do. We actually teach people how to feed sharks, and it all started with a complete course that will take somebody from never feeding the sharks to be able to feed in front of friends or a group, and that's how it was born. You know, people that wanted to really become professional shark feeders, and then in the last 6 months, I've developed a different type of shark feeding, which is, I call it the Discover Shark Feeding from the Discover Scuba Diving, in which on a half a day, two dives, I basically take anybody who's interested to feel what it is to wear chainmail and feed sharks, and I take them down feeding sharks without any pressure on having to perform for friends or perform for divers or respect all the rules that actually apply to a full feed.
So in the half-day experience, you don't teach them how to, for instance, hide your fear to the people watching you.
Well, what I teach them in a half-a-day experience is how to don and deal with a chainmail, how to move on the bottom, how to safely feed sharks for their own pleasure. What I teach on a three-day course is everything else, from biology of the sharks, or the true reasons why, you know, like I don't have time to explain why I'm telling you all the things that you need to do. I also teach you tonic immobility. I teach you to feed for people that are watching you without chainmail protection.
Yeah, they teach you how to perform a shark dive for other divers. It's an impressive program. Yanexo, look it up on the web. You can find out details about their shark dive experience.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master in Freeport, Bahamas. Actually, I moved up to the customs house overlooking Port Lakaya Marina. And obviously just across there from Unexo, the host of the Legends of Diving. And who do I see looking up there on the second floor of the customs house but my good friend from the Bahamas Ministry of Tourism, Richard Trico. How you doing, Richard?
Hey, I'm doing well, Greg. How you doing?
Yeah, it beats Jersey, doesn't it?
It sure does. And first of all, let me say congratulations and on your anniversary.
Yeah, 12 years, and we figured this would be a good place to celebrate. And, right. and boy, you've lived up to the hype as always. And last night they're having a little reception party for the Legends of Diving. And we're sitting there mixing, mingling with the folks and hanging out with Neil Watson and Willie Klein from the Ministry of Tour, the Bahamas Diving Association. And the crew are just sitting there having a cocktail. And lo and behold, all of a sudden all this noise starts happening. Or it is. It's a beautiful noise. And the Junkanoo Parade takes off. What was that all about?
Well, Junkanoo is a local cultural event here that we have during the Christmas period. And basically, you know, a lot of people want to come down and give them a taste of it. And actually, it was named after a man by the name of John Canoe, a slave. And he was the slave owners asked him to organize a parade, you know, like a festival. So that's how Junkanoo is our carnival.
Yes, and you know, I've seen pictures of it, I've seen video of it, but in all our trips to the Bahamas over the last 12 years, I've never actually experienced a Junkanoo parade until last night. And I got to tell you, that was cool. That was so cool watching them, and they sit there and played for a good 5-10 minutes for our little group of, I don't know, 50, 75 folks there, and that was fun. I mean, it looks like the players have as much fun doing it as
yes,
the people do just hanging out watching.
Yeah, they take pride in doing it, you know. I mean, they start off making the costumes like right now, I mean, until the end of the year, then have them ready for that big parade. I mean, they'd be monstrous costume, and they party. This is like a whole festive time, like going to carnival.
Yeah, it's like a cross between, you know, Las Vegas showgirl and like a peacock. I don't know. It's impressive stuff, and very much the Bahama experience. But that only happens around Christmas time or a couple times throughout the year, holidays?
Basically, it's the main Junkanoo, the main carnival period is during what we call Boxing Day and New Year's Day.
Hey, Boxing Day is like when you box presents, pack them,
you know, after the Christmas, after you open them up and you box them up to throw into the garbage.
Oh, okay.
That's it's called Boxing Day.
Oh, I got you. So it's actually after Christmas Day is when Boxing Day is, and they pull out the carnival.
Right. And then the other one is New Year's. After the ball drops, we take off.
Yes. Yeah, and they start like 2 o'clock in the morning. Neil Watson told me this story where he's sleeping on the island of Bimini about 2 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden he hears all this racket going on, and it was the Junkanoo Parade. He had no idea what was going on because they go like 2 a.m. They start at 2 a.m. and go to sunrise? Or
and that's how they go this year. They've started at 2 in the morning and end up at 12, 1 or 2 o'clock in the evening.
Good times indeed. More coming up from the Bahamas. Stay close.
Want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Being a diver has its rewards, like getting discounts on the latest oceanic gear just for sharing the underwater world with your friends and family. In fact, every time you refer a friend who signs up for a scuba class at an authorized oceanic dealer, each of you will be rewarded with $50 off oceanic gear. There's no limit to the savings you can enjoy. The more you refer, the more you save. Find the oceanic dealer near you and get all the details at oceanicworldwide.com. Reward yourself, reward your friends with oceanic dive gear at oceanicworldwide.com.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. peak performance buoyancy and the navigation specialty course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of force fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, force fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes force fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of force fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Isn't this exciting?
It is. It's fun. You know what? I think I'm going to skip the scuba diving.
Ruben, no, no, you called 8 hotels. They all said that this guy was the best.
I know, but you know how I am about boats, and I'm feeling a little queasy.
Oh, no, your stomach's acting funny.
It's okay now, but I think it might, you know how it gets, you know? So why don't you go?
We're on a honeymoon. I'm not going to go without you.
No, you've been wanting to try this. I want you to go, okay?
No.
It'll be fun. I'll pick you up like at 4 o'clock, all right?
I love you.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg, the Dive Master, in Freeport, Bahamas at the Legends of Diving event. Truly a remarkable thing going on here this week. You know, you've heard Jeff Rice. He's the guy behind the madness here. He's from Portage Quarry in Bowling Green, Ohio, and they've moved this event to the Bahamas. Now, Keith Cooper is like a Bahamas counterpart. Is that right, Keith?
That's correct. I'm the director of sales here at UNIXO, where this event is being held. And right now we're at the Pelican Bay Resort, which is the host hotel for the Legends of Diving. And let me tell you, this is an amazing event with legends from the diving community, unlike anything I've ever had the pleasure of being a part of. And I got to tell you folks out there, if you miss this event, you truly miss the legends of diving. You miss being with people who are the pioneers in this business, who are the pioneers in this industry. And I got to tell you, I can't believe the folks that are here. I can't believe the people that turned out. I am just ecstatic over the response that we received and the love and the appreciation for people who are real avid fans of scuba diving for coming to Grand Bahama and being a part of this first event, which we hope to do every year in the Bahamas. And I'm telling you right now, I wish everyone could have been here tonight to be a part of this wonderful program.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have some divers here from the Ohio area that I believe are Jeff's friends up there by his Portage Quarry site that were aware of this event. It didn't get promoted heavily outside the dive industry or for those in the know. And of course, we found out about this just a few weeks ago and said, yeah, we want to come over and check this out. And yeah, this would be a huge annual event, and what an opportunity to hang out with some of these legends and hear their stories. And matter of fact, we're doing a little mixer right now, and a little bit later on they're gonna do a little presentation to kind of talk about some of the things that they've accomplished in their careers, right?
Exactly. Well, Jeff Rice, who is the lead behind the Legends of Diving out of Portage Quarry in Bowling Green, Ohio, was the inspiration behind this event. And I got to tell you, our friendship has blossomed over the last year and a half. And he's been a remarkable person in organizing this event and entrusting us here in the Bahamas to bring his event outside of Bowling Green to an international destination like Grand Bahama Island for this first-time event. And we are really, really delighted to be a part of it. And on top of that, just the names of people that are here, people like John Englander, a former owner of UNIXO, and Dottie Frazier, the first woman to become a U.S. Certified dive instructor, and Alec Pierce, who is from Canada. I mean, we have such an international flowing of people. people, as well as Bob Croft, the first American to free dive 240 feet and setting a record back in 1968. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. And all the people out of the Midwest who came to support this event has truly been a blessing for our country and a wonderful thing for our country. And to have folks like Nick Eichhorn, who was the first executive director of PADI, here with us this evening is unbelievable. And Dan Orr. Dan Orr is the CEO of Dan. And everybody knows Dan.
Yeah, he's the Dan of Dan.
He's the man of Dan. And let me tell you right now, he took the time out of his busy schedule to come down and meet the legends, interact with all of the divers that are here, and to talk to the children of Grand Bahama about opportunities in diving and what Dan was all about. So as far as I'm concerned, this has been an unbelievable opportunity for our destination. It's been an unbelievable opportunity for scuba divers on a whole, and I'm just proud to be a part of this special event. And I really want to thank all the Scuba Radio fans who are listening, to keep listening to Scuba Radio and to keep coming down to the Bahamas and enjoying our festivities, and also our dear friend Neil Watson, who was really the true pioneer of scuba diving in the Bahamas, in my opinion. And I'm a Bahamian, and I got to tell you, this man truly is somebody who I respect, I've loved for many years and admired from afar, and I am delighted to be his friend and have him here as one of the honorees for the Legends of Diving event, which is going to take place tomorrow night, where we're going to award 12 beautiful glass scuba divers who are doing a giant stride in the water as an award for these Legends of Diving to commemorate their experience, their expertise, and their contribution to the world of scuba diving. And for that, we're thankful for those folks that are here today.
Absolutely. You know, it's about time they got the recognition they deserve. You know, Neil seems to find that recognition. You hear what I'm saying? He wears the pendant, Dive God, and God knows we've had him on Scuba Radio a few times. But some of these other folks, yeah, it's about time the spotlight shone on them a little bit and give them the props they deserve. Right, Keith?
Absolutely. I mean, these people here have been in this business for ever since the beginning of scuba divers' evolution, starting back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. We've got men and women here who are in their 60s, their 70s, and even in their 80s. I mean, Dottie Frazier is 87 years old. What could be more wonderful than have such a pioneer amongst us, and who happens to be a woman, who helped shape scuba diving, who helped pioneer the dive wetsuits, who helped create the magic that we enjoy today. I can't tell you what it means to us here in the Bahamas and to all the diving community, how these people agreed to come here to spend time with us, to share in this special event. And for that, we are indebted to them. And I think the whole diving community should be indebted to those folks who made the fantastic risks and who made the sacrifices to put themselves in a position of harm to make this diving community what it is today. And for those of you out there that are listening, that are divers, trust me, you want to learn about the Legends of Diving at legendsofdiving.com, and you want to read about these pioneers. And there's many, many, many more that are not even on the website that someday, maybe all of them will be there posted one day for you to read about what they did to help make scuba diving what it is today.
Absolutely. All right. Yeah, let's talk to the dive god about this, too. Hey, Neil, I don't want to interrupt you too much, but hey, what the heck? It's radio, right? I got to. What do you think about this, Ben? What does it mean to you?
Now, this is amazing. You know, I made some comments last night. I mean, I love this event because I'm not the oldest guy here. I mean, you know, I think some of these guys were around before Gusteau, for God's sake.
You know? Yeah, well, you were saying last night that back in the day, Patty was what?
Well, you know, back when I was hanging with these guys 40 years ago, you know, like Patty was a girl I was dating. Dan was like a drinking buddy. Like a BC was like something you took for hangovers, like in the morning, you know. Alternate air source. I mean, that was a snorkel.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, if you had split fins, you threw them away. They were broken, you know. Yeah. And that's back when safe sex was like padded headboards. I mean, everything changed.
All right, more coming up from the Bahamas. And leave it to Neil Watson to summarize this whole event up in a 30-second snippet right there.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry.
Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreAdventures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Adventures apart from the rest. That's why, for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Adventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
What's wrong?
Well, you have sex with fish?
Fish, shrimp, turtles? I'll pretty much bend over for anything with fins.
Okay, I don't think it's going to work out with you.
When you're on a golden sea, you don't need no memory. Just a place to call your own as we drift into.
Yes, we are on an island in the sun here in the Bahamas, Freeport to be exact. We're at Pelican Bay right now. They're doing this little mixer reception for the Legends of Diving. Now, we mentioned them earlier. Of course, we had them on hour one. Jeff Rice is the man behind the madness.
Neil,
yes,
Neil, what are you burning on that thing over there? My goodness.
He's having okay. Some kind of hot toddy. Is that what that is? What are you drinking?
Shish kebabs.
Oh, okay. All right. You be careful. You're going to poke an eye out with that thing, Neil. Now, Jeff, what do you think? This event you've been putting on here in the Bahamas at Unexo, quite impressive from my perspective. What was your overall goal with this event?
My overall goal on the whole event was to bring forth the people who started this sport and got everything going and actually had a part of the history of the individuals. We've had pioneers and legends, and we have showed the divers that we do have a great, great, you know, source of legends this year. What we've also tried to do is we've tried to work with the children of the island and have them come and meet the legends. And that has absolutely been unbelievable. I mean, when you see Dottie Frazier walk up to these children and just they grab her and hug her, it's been overwhelming. I mean, even on my part, when I see Dottie with tears running down her face, you know what that event did. So this was a legend who was the first ever, and we've talked about her a lot here, but she's absolutely taken the place as far as why she's number one.
Absolutely, and you heard her on Scuba Radio today, quite a character, but just a snapshot of what she's really all about. Legendsofdiving.com, is that the website?
Legendsofdiving.com.
All right, well, that'll do it from the Bahamas. Remember, next week we will be broadcasting live from 40 Fathom Grotto, 40fathomgrotto.com. Check it out on the web and join us 3 to 5 Eastern Time live from there. Till then, remember, it's always better down where it's wetter.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me
be wiping me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.